Blog Talk Radio.
Yes.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and I am so excited. We're finally getting into these seven essential questions from the coaching habit. And, boy, today we're going to be doing the kickstart, and we always have my lovely co-host, Miss Amy. How are you today?
I'm a little bit of trouble, Robin, because my habit is to normally do this at a different day and time, and I'm not sure what the reward is going to be for doing it. I know probably the reward is I get to do it with you and Judy, so that's okay. I can breathe. I can calm down.
Okay, my other lovely Miss co-host, Miss Judy Catano.
Good day, everybody. Nice to be here with you today.
So I wanted to get a little bit into, before we go strictly to the kickstart question, just to kind of review for you guys a little bit. The last couple of shows we've been doing have been really excellent, talking about different ways that we can be looking at, you know, just addressing our habits, all the different things that really help us to be in this place where we can be looking at things and making sure that we're we've got some technical difficulties going on in here. It's been interesting. So, yeah, so we're just, you know, making sure that we are looking at all the different ways, the nuances of things that can start us, that can stop us when it comes to habits. And I really recommend you go back and look at that. I have a couple friends of mine that said, oh, my gosh, I love those episodes. I've been listening to them like three times, and there's so much there that I want to listen to it again. So just really recommend you guys go back with that. But when we start looking at questions, you know, and all these habits and the different patterns were really kind of moving us into these questions. So as you look at the way that you're doing your habits, being able to move that. And one of the last things we did on this last show was really inviting everybody to do a habit journal. And we're going to have a little bit of a review on that. So, Amy, you want to share anything that was an aha for you when you started doing your journaling?
Yeah. So, and talk about questions and, you know, being a good coach is being able to ask good questions. And we want you to support yourself being a coach, and you're coaching others whether you realize it or not. So we want to give you some really good tools to do that. And questions are a great tool in terms of coaching and in watching your habit. So the questions that we posed for starting your habit journal, what are the habits you want to keep to release, and what
surprise
hobbits? I know.
So
really,
keep
it for me.
Hobbits of the ring. Let's do habits of the ring.
That's the reward, and so that's the other part. Any reward surprise you? Do you need to release and or get new rewards? So for me, since we last talked, been really looking at what habits do I have and what are some of the things that I need to get out and replace. One of the ways I'm doing that is I'm organizing a lot of my work material and making sure that it fits where I'm at now and where I'm going. And so I don't get caught up in old habits of working on different things that don't serve where I'm going. In fact, I was talking to a good friend yesterday, and one of the things that she said, and I have several friends that do this, that they kind of a habit they get kind of caught up in is self-improvement, and they're so busy with the books and the free webinars and all that other stuff that they're not spending time on what's important now. And I think that's a habit that you might want to look at, and I'm definitely looking at that. Am I, you know, growing and expanding in ways that serve where I am now and where I'm going instead of just keeping myself busy? And in terms of rewards, what my biggest reward, I think, is true connection with somebody and looking at how do I make sure that that reward is tied to things I really want. And how about you guys with your habits and rewards, looking at those?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. Before we got on the air, we were talking about what's our kickstart, you know, and I've had a little bit of a rodent problem at the flower shop lately, just because I think it's summer and things like that. And but it's really motivated me to get in there and do some cleaning and getting rid of things and stuff like that. And I know for Judy, she's got that similar thing going on. There's a lot of people that are really finding, like, this is time to do, and say, wait, instead of doing spring cleaning, let's do some late summer cleaning. I think that's a great idea to get rid of those things. Like you said, what's really effective for me now instead of things that I've had in the past? And one thing I realized in going through and looking at some of the things that I've chosen to keep at the shop was people would bring me things, and I would keep them out of the idea that I'm going to keep this for somebody else. It's not necessarily something
right.
I need. And boy, I've gone through and gotten rid of a whole bunch of stuff because I'm like, if somebody gave it to me and I haven't really done anything, it's that declutter rule. You know, if you haven't really done anything with it in a year, get rid of it. You're not going to do anything with it. Yeah. So, you know, I've had things in there probably for 5 or 10 years that I didn't even realize that I had, that I've been slowly, you know, getting rid of things and making sure they're going to, you know. The one thing that's great about that is I really have learned to change my mindset. It's just like, I'm going to give this to somebody so they can use it and have it be effective for them. I'm giving it in a way that's being positive for everybody. I create space in my life for something new, and I'm putting something out there for an opportunity of something people are looking for that they didn't even know was available until they see it. So I think that's a great way of being able to look at that. So how about you, Amy? Or Jude?
Oh, so I'm like really excited about this habit journal idea. I said that last time because I knew I needed to do it myself, right? And so I got myself my little journal that I'm always challenged to make sure that I do a daily routine with. And so I just want to tell you a little bit about my process and how this has evolved, because it's really become quite great. I start off with my daily wisdom, and that's just I hold myself in prayer and say, okay, what am I to find today? And so one of the things, I'll just share a real-world example with you, is be kind, practice grace, and self-love. Don't push yourself so hard. And then I identify the habit I want to work about, and then I say, is it working or is it not working? And I just give honest feedback. There's no judgment here. It's just honest feedback. Do I need to modify it? And then I give gratitude for what that was in my life. And then I just finish by telling myself something kind to myself. And I've been doing this every day since we had this last conversation. And I'm starting to really realize that I'm awesome and I love myself. And it's a gift you give yourself.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And you don't need to wait for anybody else to do this for you.
And that's the thing about the coaching habit. It's a gift that you give yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they may be writing it for people who do coaching and all that, and I love Amy bringing the idea about, you know, we coach people every day. And I think it's so important to just have different things that you look at to be able to, you know, have good tools and being able to know, you know, is it the time for me to be able to, you know, be just that much more a better listener when it comes to things like that, or having that great question that I can help somebody even though, like, you know, tell me more kind of a thing. So it's I'm so glad that we're doing this book, and it's wonderful to be doing it with my sisters, just because we all come from very unique perspectives. So it really gives us all, you know, hopefully, and like we're saying, you know, I've got friends who are listening to this 3 or 4 times because they're just getting so much out of it. So really, really happy about that. So, and I love this Habits of the Ring. We're going to do something with that. So that's good. Bringing it up there. So I want to take a little bit of time, you know, when it comes to being able to do self-discovery, self, you know, inquiry, you know, questions can just feel so awkward and even overwhelming sometimes just to get ourselves started. So, you know, really look at this as a way of being able to take a look at something with just the nuances of, you know, what is a question, and are there, you know, we're going to talk about closed-end questions as opposed to open questions, and having a way that we can really cut to the quick and be able to discover what is our truest clarity and being able to do that. And I think part of that is having good tools, and sometimes that could be just the question itself, can be just the tool that really helps us to be able to open up ourselves. And one thing I want to put up there, too, is, you know, just because I ask a question once doesn't mean I'm done with it. I think it's really important that you ask it several times, because you're going through a lot of different layers with yourself and being able to say, you know, is that true? Can I know that's true? And I'm going to move into, you know, asking a question 5, 6 times to see, you know, what's maybe a little bit deeper and a little more, you know, sweet to ourselves, and if we're willing to being able to just embrace it. And the goodness is that we're really kind of, this is just for ourselves. It's not like we necessarily have to share that until we feel comfortable with it with another person. But like I said, you know, we really encourage people to, you know, get somebody who can be a buddy for you that you can bounce ideas off of, because it's just so important to have just even a small group of a community that you can have, whether it's, you know, your buddy or have a small group of people that get together on a regular basis, because it brings those nuances of things you might not have even thought about, and it doesn't keep you in a vacuum that way. So, Amy, you want to go ahead and talk about the closed and open questions?
Yeah, but first off, I went on page 31 of The Coaching Habit. He talks about that driving in the center of Paris and swept into traffic circle around the landmark of the Arc de Triomphe. He noticed quickly that it was not your typical rotary. With 12 streets speeding around the roundabout, the normal rules were reversed. Here, the incoming traffic had the right-of-way, while the traffic already in traffic had to wait. Even though the system works, it was crazy French. And he said it's Matt's experience was one of white-knuckled panic, cars seeming to come at him from all directions. And then he talks about sometimes being on the receiving end of someone with a pocket full of questions can be like a moment of Parisian driving. The questions come hurtling at you left and right. There's no time to answer any of them, and you're left feeling dazed and confused. So that ends open, so we walk into, if you know, asking question after question after question and not stopping, right, and breathing and giving them a chance to answer, it can feel like an interrogation. And how about you guys, when somebody's doing that to you, what does that feel like to you?
So, yeah, you definitely want to do a shutdown. You know, I've had that experience myself, and that just comes from inner anxiety of myself to want to be, give that person the greatest opportunity I can to help them explore. And really, the best thing that I've ever done is learn how to use silence, because silence can be so great for somebody just to take a deep breath and go a little deeper. So just like Robin said, ask the question, get the first level answer, breathe, maybe ask it again. You know, or even allow yourself to just have it something that you're going to, you know, basically has as a companion for you as you go through maybe one or two days or whatever. I'm going to journal about it every morning, just like Judy's doing her, you know, beautiful journal, the way she's got it structured with just, you know, the different ways that you process for yourself. And then just, you know, I'm going to go for a walk, and maybe I'll have a conversation with that, you know, that question while I'm walking. And then, you know, maybe I'll be able to have it where I can have coffee with a friend and be able to say, you know, I'm working on this. And,
I love that.
You know, what have you had with that? So having something where you actually, you know, befriend it and have it be something that can help you to go a little deeper and a little deeper, because it's just doing something on the surface, it's going to be that quick, like almost like it's going to be a reaction. It's not going to be a response. And if you can be in yourself, and you just kind of settle in and say, I'm going to listen to all my responses because I love and honor myself enough. I want to know. I'm willing and I'm open and I want to know. And it will come. It will come because you're creating that invitation for yourself.
And you're creating a trust level, too, and a calmer state to answer, you know, from a truer place. I want to come back to, I'm going to give the Cliff Notes as closed and open-ended questions and how you use them in conversation. I love your talk about the, you know, out walking and the talking. One of the things that I love to do with people I'm working with and in organizations is create walk and talks. You know, instead of having that meeting where you're all sitting around, right, staring at each other, that you go, you know, hopefully there's a park there or, you know, an area where you can walk. One of the places that Judy and I do work, they have a beautiful facility. And walking around there is just really wonderful. And it kind of gets you don't feel like you're so pressured. In the walking and your mind and your body, right, get to kind of relax a little bit. And in an interesting, you were talking, a good friend of mine, he walks and talks with God every morning. And we'll have these really cool conversations about what God told him that day. And so you can do it with other people. You can do it with, you know, God. And just really making that time and that practice. So
I want to put another component in with that. Is being willing to be in a place where you'll play. So if you want to play Uno, or, you know, I'm an Uno girl, so it's amazing to me how many profound things that can happen while you're just sitting playing Uno with somebody, because it's a soft way of being able to just have this open invitation where your mind is kind of active, but yet your emotions are being in a place where you can just have fun and be able to let there be a different level of flow. So, you know, whether it's a card game or whatever, it can be anything. But I think it's better to it's something that's kind of fast and kind of fun and kind of easy. You're not necessarily thinking about it, you know. I mean, you know, unless you're this, you know, highfalutin person who's really into chess, I can't see the chess would necessarily be something that invited a deep conversation. But you really no, it's a personality thing, and it's per person. It can be very individualized with what works for you, you know. But I think it just helps people. You know, I could see people playing tennis and having this conversation at the same time. You know, you're working in your body, but you're also feeling at the same time and being able to express yourself.
Me first. I want to go.
Let me just throw this in and then you're using both sides of your brain when you do that.
I want to say yes, yes, yes to what my sisters have said, but I also want to say, yes, I go walking every day, and when I have a real big dilemma, I pray about it, and I wait for the answers to come. And here's the thing. You got to listen. They come in different ways. And so you got to keep your eyes peeled to see what you see and see what that evolves in your brain. And the other thing I want to say, I love the card game thing, but when I need to go on a processing trip, sometimes I'll grab a friend and we go on a car trip. Because when you're in a car and you're looking straight forward, you can have conversations with somebody that is totally different than when you're looking in their eyeballs.
Sure.
And so don't ever estimate a good car drive with somebody.
Yep. And they can't get out because, you know, you're driving.
That's what I'm saying. That's awesome. Well, let's get out. Although, you know, there's plenty of stories of people who have said, stop this car, I'm getting out.
You just open the door and go out.
Or you stop the car and you say, you're getting out. But, you know, I wouldn't know anything about that.
Good. Yep. And then the waiting and the listening go hand in hand, which can be hard when you're overachievers, like some people I know on this call. Like all three of us.
Yeah.
So just a quick note, and there, you know, you can take whole classes on, you know, questions and communicating. Being a great critical thinker is all about asking really good questions. But open-ended questions, one of my personal favorites, and we'll be talking about this as we go, is tell me more. And just you open simple, easy, and then let them go. That's great, but the problem is they can go all over the place. And what we're going to talk about in a little bit is I think it's important to have an intention, an agenda maybe, but certainly an intention about what you want that conversation to be and what the outcome that you want, unless it's just a conversation unless it's a conversation to connect, which is a different, that's your intention, right? That's your agenda. And so you use closed questions, yes and no, and direct answers to facilitate closing the conversation. When you only have 20 minutes, 10 minutes to talk with somebody, if you're not careful, you can ask one open-ended question and never get to what you wanted to talk about.
So let's kind of dive into the question of the week, which is, you know, here we're covering the seven essentials. The first one is called the Kickstarter. And it's, you know, it's important that with this one, really, it is the icebreaker. It's a way of being able to help you to kind of dive into what's really going on with yourself, and it is an open-ended question. So, and when the question is, tell me what's going on for you. And I think what's important about that kind of a question, and it's something, like I said, you can say this over and over again to yourself, like, tell me what's going on for me, what's going on for me, what's going on for me. And yes, you can make it a third-person question, but I think sometimes it's great to kind of ask yourself that in a third-person perspective, like, what's going on with you? What's going on with me? What's going on with I? You know, kind of get these different personas of yourself and being able to look at that in the way that you would, because we've got so many nuances with yourself. Like, what's going on with you as a mother? What's going on with you as an entrepreneur? What's going on with you as a wife? What's going on with you as, you know, someone who's speaking deeper spiritual perspectives on things? So it really helps you to just kind of, you know, just think of yourself as this beautiful faceted diamond that has all these ways you can look at yourself, and having those different nuances of yourself. They can go, just like a diamond, it's cut on the top and it's wide, and it goes deeper and deeper and goes into a point. So when you're going to get down to where you level that out and get into this pointedness of just like very clear and having that, like I said, we're having the truest clarity for myself and being able to get away from the cloudiness of whatever was going on with the top and being able to have that bottom, you know, lit up and ready to go. So I think, you know, it's that empowering question, because when you ask yourself that, you know, what's going on with me, it's an empowering question because it's an open-ended question that helps me to realize that I can have new choices and I can have new ways of looking at myself. And, you know, it's not about saying, you know, tell me everything or tell me anything like we've been talking about. You don't want to get kind of stuck into, like, going off into, you know, a tangent of something. But it's really being able to just break that down. You know, one of the ways of being able to say, you know, what maybe what should my question be about is, like, what's waking up in the middle of the night? you know, how are you having those questions about? And what's really mattering to you? I love how Judy's doing her journaling about really getting clear about, you know, I'm going to focus, I'm going to pray, I'm going to go walk. And I'm like, you know, what, you know, I might think I have certain things that I consider my agendas, but what's my higher agenda? What's my agenda walking into this day and having it to where I can celebrate myself and others in a way that I can feel really clear about it? You know, and what am I excited about? I think it's always really important to follow our excitement. Because if you're not following your excitement, it's just really, you're just living every day and basically getting into that groove of just like, you know, what is my life purpose? If you're following excitement, you know, there's definitely going to be something there. So, you know, these are path markers for just, you know, having new ways and new habits and new adventures for yourself. So, okay, girl, what do you think about this, you know, this question that says, you know, tell me what's going on with you.
Well, and the specific question is what's on your mind? And that certainly is open and can lead them to feeling, part of you got to create a sacred space too, right? A space where they feel safe to share that. And just really can open it up to whatever's on the top of their mind, what's most important maybe.
I want to agree with that and allowing them to get comfortable with themselves and identify where that is. Because you're not going to be in the same mind space as they are. So it's going to take you some time and maybe some really good questions to get to that place. So instead of offering suggestions, ask questions. So that keeps us on our toes, right? Because the best questions are going to get them to the place where they need to go. I also want to point out this is an individual process, yes. It's a relationship process, yes. But it's also a great process that can be used in the career, in an organization. I utilize these processes in running the Career Institute for 27 years so far. And you know what? I have long-term employees, and they do great things and make great connections because they know I care about them individually. And so really think about the fact that, yes, this is for you, but it can also do great things in your life as well.
And I think that's a really good point because doing this kind of work, it can't help but ripple out. Because, you know, it's going to be attracting, you know, if you're clear, you're in a different way of your perspectives and the way you're looking at the world, it's going to be putting those invitations for other people who are like-minded to be coming into your life and having just different awareness about something. It's like Judy and I were talking about another book that has to do from Barbara Spear about the people, you know, there are people in the world that basically just like to be sorters. And she calls that where you basically are a person that you go all over the place and you have all different things you're interested in. And, you know, come to find out that a lot of people are geared that way because it really helps you be in this place of being able, oh, it's actually scanners. Yeah, you can be a busy scanner. So there's all different ways that you can be, you know, looking at things. So part of that's following your excitement and being in those kinds of places. I also wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, yeah, it's like what's on your mind. I think it's also a good question to say what's in my heart or what is my heart feeling today? And actually put your hand to your heart and feel if there's anything coming up for you. And then what's on my body? If there's aches and pains or anything that's happening with your body, you know, those are ways that your body's trying to get your attention. So, you know, I love Louise Hay said one time, she said, taking a pill is telling your body to shut up. So I think it's really important that we come to a place of not having something where we would buffer that. And that could be taking a drink or you know, watching too much TV or whatever. It's telling my senses and my sensibility of myself to shut up or be quieting down. So, you know, being able to be quiet with us, like Judy said, quietness and being able to be in this place of silence is just such a wonderful thing that I think meditation is so good for. And again, too, is, you know, what's in my feelings? Sometimes, you know, the same thing is like, you know, instead of buffering that, have it in a place where I can be safe and trust myself and I can be in this place where I can embrace what's happening for myself and be very kind and gentle with myself, the way my body feels, the way my feelings are, what's in my heart, and then what's in my mind. Because it's something that, you know, we want to have an integrated, balanced harmony with ourselves in all the different ways that we want to be in the world. Or, you know, we're not going to be happy because there's places in our life that we're just not feeling like we're fully in a place where we can feel balanced. Go ahead, Amy.
So I want to give an exercise. At University of Phoenix, I used to teach a communication class. And we talk a lot about being active listeners. And sometimes we talk about silence. Unfortunately, most of the time we have learned to use silence as a weapon, to use to give the silent treatment, which is very, we say passive aggressive, but I think it's pretty aggressive, even aggressively aggressive. So what the homework assignment that I would give my students was to find a buddy, a listening buddy, and for 2 minutes, one person listened. Their only job was to listen, not to engage, and allow the person to talk about whatever they wanted. It could be this very simple, what's on your mind, what's on your heart, and just let that go. Literally set a timer. When the timer hits, you both take a nice deep breath, and then you switch roles. And then the other person's job is to listen, and yours is to be present. I recommend people try that for at least 21 days, and I guarantee your relationship will change, your relationship with silence and your relationship with that other person. I can't guarantee how it'll change, but I guarantee it'll change.
Yeah, for sure. I love that. It's so true. You know, it's just taking that time to maybe do that with yourself, too. And that's really what these habits and these questions are all about. When we integrate these two processes together, it's to take that time with yourself each morning so you're clear. So when you go make that other approach to that other person, maybe it complements each other in how you show up to do that.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important, you know, they talk a little bit about you got to be careful because agendas can kill conversations. And for me, I know we do 30-minute career coaching sessions with through the Career Institute, and they are highly effective. And we have a sort of an agenda. I don't know if you want to kind of address that, Judy. We have an objective. We know we want to help the person. We want to help advance them personally and professionally, help them with their career and the balance in life. And we have kind of like a format we follow, but it's also open-ended so they can go where they need to go. And us as the coach can use our intuition and knowing of them to support them. So agenda, not agenda, intention. What do you think, Jude?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. We want to go in and ask them what they're interested in, and in 30 minutes get them to transition in their mind to a new place where they have a few things that they want to work on, a few things that have come up for them that they didn't even know they were thinking about, and really just help them with some options to move their life forward.
Okay, so we've got about 3 minutes left. So I think it would be really great to talk about, you know, kickstart homework, just like Judy's saying. You know, let me go through that. But I think really focusing on kickstart in your way that you're doing your habits, is there a different way that I want to be moving forward with looking at the way that I've been doing things and, you know, my successes, like we said, either successes and then there's the things that have been challenging me and being able to evaluate things in the way they look at. And, you know, what's going on with me when it comes to being able to do some kickstarts in our lives, whether it's, you know, these things that, like I said, you know, real-time life challenges that are causing me to do some deep cleaning and purging and things like that, or, you know, whatever's coming up for you.
Okay, so I've really thought about this a lot because the kickstart, I'm pretty much a simple person, but then I like to take things deeper as I can because I'm a thinker. And so what I would like to suggest that people do this week is to just start a kickstart piece to their journal. It's something that they do daily, but with more opportunities to check in with yourself.
Okay.
And so maybe at 7 o'clock in the morning, just putting, you know, ideas out here, like an early morning intention, I ask myself the kickstart question, and then maybe at noon after walking or doing whatever we're going to do, we check in with ourselves again and see if there's a deeper level of understanding. And then at the end of the day, maybe we talk about gratitude for the day and then our final recollection of how we're feeling about that kickstart question. Because I really believe, just like Robin and Amy have said, if you assess that in your mind and you start to think about that and really process that and look at what life is presenting you today, you're going to come up with some great wisdom to be able to input in your life. And it's important to get that kickstart process going in yourself before you try to start to utilize it in other parts of your life.
You know, one thing I like to do every day is to, I'd like to say, you know, spend some time with God in the morning. And I always thank God for this wonderful day full of delightful surprises and wonderful experiences. So with that, I would basically modify that a little bit and say, thank you for this kickstarted day that has wonderful insights and wonderful surprises for me.
So it's inviting yourself to kind of remold the invitation. And what that does is it really makes you, you're going through the day going, oh, I'm looking for this wonderful thing that's a kickstart.
Yeah, I love that.
You put yourself in, you put yourself already in something to where you're consciously making the choice of knowing that you're looking for it all day long. You know, it's interesting that, you know, if you were going to go buy a new car and you figured out what you wanted, that's all you see until you buy that car.
Yeah.
Because your consciousness is just saying, oh, I'm looking for that, I'm looking for that, I'm looking for that. So it's the same thing with the kickstart thing. It's like, you know, what are my kickstarts? What are the ways that I'm going to be, you know, being able to know what's going on with me in ways that I hadn't been open to before, whether it's in my mind, my heart, my body, and in my feelings, and then moving that into something else that could be something really profound. So go ahead, Amy, take us home.
So what I want to propose is what you both said, and with the question of what's on my mind, what's on my heart, and what am I experiencing in my body? Try that every day this week.
And how am I feeling?
Okay, sure. Feeling as in emotionally.
Right? We really need to be in a place where we can be in touch with ourselves and not make it wrong, but just know that this is where I am and loving ourselves in that place in the moment.
Do, right, is just put, you know, mind, body, spirit, emotions, however you want to, right? And then just do kind of like it's on a scale of zero being to 10 being woohoo, rate yourself in each of those areas and then maybe see if some words come with it.
Okay. Well, you've got homework. You've got ideas for asking this TikTok question.
Get hot.
Take it in the later. We'll see you next time. Here at the cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.